You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Since 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast Network has led the podcasting space for the pharmacy industry. This network of pharmacists and pharmacy technicians leads the podcasting charts with more than 2 million downloads, 40 different stations, and new episodes every week. The Pharmacy Podcast Network is the number one podcast for the pharmacy professional. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and all your favorite podcast players. Join the Pharmacy Podcast Nation today.
Hey, Alexa, who's John Rossman?
John Rossman is an author of 5 books. Rossman's most recent book was Think Like Amazon, 50 and a Half Ideas to Become a Digital Leader.
Hey, Alexa, who's Todd Urey?
Sorry, I'm not sure about that.
Aw, dang it. Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is your founder of the Pharmacy Podcast, Todd Urey. Today's a special opportunity for the Pharmacy Podcast Network and our listeners. We have Mr. John Rossman. If anyone doesn't realize who John Rossman is, he is a national speaker, international speaker. He is an author of the latest book called Think Like Amazon, which is something that I'm almost finished with, which really sheds light on innovation in business in general. John also has been a consultant for years where he helps companies innovate and take their processes to a whole nother level. We are so excited to have you on the show with us today, John. This is a treat. Welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Todd, thank you. Thanks for having me. What a great opportunity. And the only other thing I just round out, even though it was a while ago, it's what kind of gives me authority on this, which is I am a former Amazon executive, launched the marketplace that Amazon ran enterprise services. And it really is from that period of time of seeing how consistent Amazon's culture, their mechanisms were, and then helping to translate those for my clients to help make change happen. That's what kind of, you know, Think Like Amazon is kind of the story of all those little things that we can take from Amazon, incorporate them into our own business to help make change happen.
There will be links for our listeners, theamazonway.com, which will take you to the place that's kind of like the spearhead of John and his background. But also, we want to put out the fact that if we receive tweets from this podcast, we're going to be doing a 10-book giveaway of your latest book, John. So we're excited about that, too.
Fantastic. Cool. Tell you what, I'll double it. I'll sponsor 10 more books for you. And my whole goal is, like, I hear about people taking a couple of these ideas and putting them into work in their business and stuff. So I'd love to double your sponsorship.
That is awesome. Hashtag the Amazon way. And we'll be tracking that on Twitter, on social media, hashtag the Amazon way. And John, you and I can both track that together. So you'll have fun watching this grow over the next couple of months.
Cool.
Awesome. So I'm going to jump right in. And the first thing I want to lay the groundwork for is pharmacy, community pharmacy specifically, is going through a massive shift, a massive change. We're moving from prescription-based care from a pharmacist perspective to value-based care, where a pharmacist will literally start doing, as they have for many years, but it just hasn't been recognized nor paid for as a practitioner or provider is paid, and that is value-based care and being a consultative mechanism in healthcare to review medication management, to review diabetes, to review certain chronic disease states, and really becoming a more hands-on healthcare provider and being recognized as such, but then also being paid that way. Now, in the interim between the then or the future and today, there's tons of disruption happening and lots of very concerned pharmacy owners out there. John, there's 23,000 pharmacy owners throughout the United States. There's 238,000 registered active pharmacists. And because of the way that things are changing, in the way that PBMs pay pharmacy services, there's just a tremendous amount of worry. And I get excited during times like this because I think there's opportunity for advancement and innovation, which is the whole reason you, as a digital and innovation advisor, are here today on the interview. So just kind of with that stage, I wanted to kind of peer into your mind and your thoughts and in your brain of what you think of a time in an industry like this.
I think it really does lay out, as you said, which is, you know, they call it digital disruption because during these times there's winners and losers, right? And I think disruption is an apt word because it tends to be rapid change, not subtle change. And so in healthcare in general, I think all we can hope for is that there actually is change that happens, that it's not just lipstick on the pig and everything. But I think what you're seeing is that, you know, employers aren't happy, the insured aren't happy, and physicians and caretakers and professionals aren't happy, right? Nobody is happy with the status quo, but yet there's so much money involved in maintaining the status quo. There's so many incumbent stakeholders who really want to keep it. I think that's where it's going to take likely forces, external forces, like something that Amazon, JP Morgan Chase, Berkshire Hathaway is doing, you know, their non-for-profit called Haven. I don't think that a company like that is going to be the disruptor. I think what it's going to do is create an exemplar, examples of what better should look like in serving their own employees. And you know, I sure hope that in, you know, 15 years, we aren't having the same conversation.
Absolutely. So when I think of applying some of what you talk about in Think Like Amazon to the pharmacy owner, and you talking about being competitive, I think competitive also has to do with differentiation. And when I think of a community pharmacy owner, a private pharmacy owner, they're competing with the large chain big box stores that try to make things as convenient as possible. But when I always like coming back to some of your references and saying, well, what would Jeff Bezos do in this situation? But what do you think from a, it could be a hardware store, it could be a dentist, it could be a privately owned pharmacy, but in this scope of needing information as quickly as possible, attention deficit, always looking at our phones, the customer, the consumer is really king, not only from sourcing information, not necessarily always true, and being able to source Dr. Google per se, and trying to be the self-diagnosis, you know, entity and time of information that we're in. But I look at your book and I say, you know, John would know if the Community Pharmacy Association hired John, you could literally sit down and do a study based on 80 years of data and probably give a roadmap of how to truly innovate, even through digital, in differentiating yourselves. But what are your ideas around differentiation?
Well, there's a slight difference between, you know, competing in the short term versus what the long term path could be. And I think especially, you know, everybody thinks that there is a competitive disadvantage, right? The small guys are always like, I'm a small guy, I can't compete. And the big guys are like, oh, we're a big guy, we can't change, we can't compete, you know, and everything. And I would much rather take a small, nimble operator who has a big vision, because I think that you truly are able to move faster. And so the question is really how to take your advantages and take advantage of them. And one of the stories I kind of tell is about really thinking about what are the things that we've become comfortably numb to, right? Borrowing from Pink Floyd's great song, you know, and everything. And I think that we ask customers to do a lot that if you really thought about it, you wouldn't ask customers to do, and you can find little ways to serve them better. And I think high-end, personalized, customized service is the way for small and mid-sized businesses to always win against the big guys, especially against a company like Amazon, who is a high transaction company, and their forte is not about personalized service. Think about the customer experience broader than just the narrow way you serve the customer today, upstream and downstream. And especially in this industry, always be thinking about, like, not just the happy path, not what a good day looks like for your customer, but what's a bad day look for your customer. If you truly build better insight into what that broader customer experience is, and then ask the question, how can I serve them broader than just what I'm serving on today? You will find ways to improve both your existing business and likely find ways to expand. But you have to be willing and curious to actually be broader than that, to think about, how do I be more than just a narrow transactional aspect in this broader customer experience? And somewhere you have to be willing to change the status quo. Amazon has this history of always being curious about the customer experience broader than how they're serving the customer today, and they put pressure on it to always be expanding. And so I think that we grow so used to what we're used to that we don't ask the question, how could we reduce friction? How can we serve our customers better?
And that in of itself should be something that a pharmacy owner takes time to think about. And I like to apply this back to some of the material in your book. I think this book could be used as a template for pharmacy owners to truly make some sustainable and growing changes to their own businesses. You have to be customer obsessed, as John writes in the book. You have to take ownership of your business and your community, as most pharmacy owners do. They've been in the community quite some time. And I think that in itself is a huge advantage. But then there's the merging of technology. There's the merging of voice. You have to bolt yourself onto what the customer is becoming used to. And my 7-year-old flips through new technology twice as fast as I do, because I'm a little bit more analytical about using something. And that should tell us something. That should tell us all something. At 47, my age versus my 7-year-old, and how they're naturally just picking this up. It's telling to me, with the coming of age of Amazon's aggressiveness in healthcare, that the pharmacy owner in the rural area, in the community, must embrace technology. So let's shift gears, John, and talk about technology for a second. And as a small business owner that we're really catering this podcast to, what would you say would be something that you would give them a flag of understanding, as well as to dig deeper into?
Yeah, well, I think as business people, as non-technologists, what we have to be better at in general is be more clear on what we want the technology, the data to do, right? What insights, what questions, what integration we want to provide by the technology. And I think that so oftentimes, failed projects or failed ideas, it's like, it's easy to blame it on the technology. Most failures are because the business intent hasn't been thought through well enough up front. So several of the ideas and the principles and the concepts of the book are basically centered around this notion of, you have to dedicate time and resources to working in the future, right? Not just working in today's world and operations and business, but you really have to become dedicated to the craft of working in the future. And some of the ideas here are real tactical ones around writing narratives, writing out your ideas with clarity, which is both simplicity of thought and completeness of thought, will force you to be able to understand and describe what you want so much better. And that allows then a technology team to be able to deliver that. Write a future press release, which is a forward-looking description of what exactly you want to have happen. And then you work backwards from that in taking your agile steps towards it, right? Writing out FAQs, frequently asked questions, from all your different stakeholder points of view, from the customer, from the pharmacist, from the operator, from the insurance company, whoever it is, right? And when you think about the questions your stakeholders will have, guess what? You'll just, you won't miss things as you're going through them. And so that planfulness of thinking about the future and then working back is the business owner's accountability to be able to do that. They're the expert. They need to be able to see, like, well, this is how it should work, and being able to describe it then to the people who need to make that happen. That's where the primary issues and gaps are as we look at making new things happen, right? Making innovation happen. People always like, it's the technology. No, as business owners in this world, we all have to become better at explicitly defining what we want to have happen so that others can deliver it for us.
It's a great point. And I think the merging of advanced technology, things to come, with the tried and true successes of any business owner. And I want to bring up idea number 8. And I know it's going to sound simplistic to the listeners. If you haven't read this book, it's on page 35 of 301 if you're reading digitally. And John puts in there, avoid country clubs. And he says, stay hungry even when you're successful. And there's a quote that I'm going to put in our show notes as well because of how much I like it, from Reid Hoffman. And Mr. Hoffman says, ironically, in a changing world, playing it safe is one of the riskiest things you can do. Well, guess what, pharmacy owners? You tend to be very safe. Why? Because you're keeping the public safe. It's in your DNA. You feel safe. You know the data is tried and true. You know the drug-drug interactions are tried and true. You know that the evidence-based information is there. And in having that powerful barrier between medicine and the public, you're keeping the public safe, which is your job number one. And thank God for pharmacists doing that. But guess what? I think embedded in that and baked into your personality is this play it safe attitude. And when it comes to business, it has to be the exact opposite, in not doing things that are risky to the point that it's going to tear your business down and being too risky. But as John has already said, testing things where you see yourself, where you see your community pharmacy in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Reid is really pointing to is if you risk is always bounded by time. If you think about over the next 2 to 3 years, what the risks are in your business, well, that's very different than if you say, well, what are the risks in my business over 10 to 15 years, right? And what boards and executives need to do is, as part of their risk lens, is ask the questions over a 10 to 15 year period of time, what are the biggest risks we're going to have? Well, it's typically going to be around business model changes and new customer behaviors and disruptive technology, but it's really about business model changes. And what companies are not doing is they are not being proactive in experimenting on the small things relative to business model innovation now, so that they can see what works, they can see what doesn't work, and they can build organizational capability to create change and then be ahead of the curve relative to that. What most companies do is they go, listen, like, you know, we're successful. We want to maintain the status quo as much as possible. And guess what? We're typically kind of, you know, older people anyway. I'm going to cash out in 5 years, so I'm going to invest as little as possible in disrupting the future. Well, that's really where the essence of stewardship comes in, which is, if your goal is to create opportunities for the next generation and to create a legacy business, you owe it to those stakeholders to invest an appropriate amount in creating the future, even if it has, you know, what you might perceive as short-term costs, and you might upset people because you're thinking about and you're talking about new concepts and new models and new business approaches, right? And, you know, that's one of the things I love about Amazon is, and that we should take from them, is they operate in both the here and now, how to get results today, but then they're also planting seeds that oftentimes are 10 to 20 year seeds of potential big businesses in the future, and they can make their investments at the right point, at the right size, because they're being proactive about it. Guess what happens when you wait for change until it's really late, it becomes really expensive in order to make that change, right? And so you think of it as like, oh, I'm deferring expense. No. You are delaying a much bigger expense.
That's a really good point. And I like the fact that you have taken this specific book of yours and you've almost given a roadmap to a business owner to understand how to meticulously build the future while continuing to drive excellence in what you're doing today. And I almost see a combination of that.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody wants it to be simple, and I'm sorry, it's not simple, right? The title of the book is Think Like Amazon, 50 and a half ideas to become a digital leader. It's a full on playbook. It's not like, hey, we have three or four things we need to do. It's like, no. This is like an NFL playbook. It's complex. You got to know the right play to call at the right moment for the right effect that you have. I get asked a lot like, okay, John, you know, what's the one thing? Like, well, I'm sorry, there's not one thing we need to do, right? Life is complex. This is complex. But at the end of the day, we have to create organizations that are both world-class operators and excellent at change, right? And I think that's you know, Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, has a quote that, you know, this industry only respects innovation. And he's talking about the technology innovation. But I think that mindset and that becomes a truism for all industries going forward, which is you have to become good at making change happen. And I think that's the core skill set that most companies need to bolt on to being a good operator for today.
It's amazing to see how what is already in place can be evolved based on what's coming, and understanding how patients, you know, AKA consumers, are expecting to be served through customer service in attitude and in graciousness and in helping, but also convenience. And, you know, there's a part in your book where you specifically mention pharmacy and you say, hey, I should never be forced to go to the pharmacy for a prescription again, unless of course I want to, or if I have a problem with my medicine, or I want to consult with a pharmacist. And you're saying that there's an idea of convenience for these patients, for these customers, and leveraging Echo or Amazon's Alexa to do more interactively, which is the Internet of Things, and combining that with customer service and what the patient is used to as a community pharmacist is serving them. So I see a merging of two worlds today in order to plan for the future of where these community pharmacists want their businesses to be and to go.
Yeah, I think the story of retail over the past 20 years is the story that a lot of industries are going to go through, which is, you know, the story of retail is about not just having multiple channels, but having this concept that's called omni-channel, which is letting a customer at every single step in the journey choose what's the best method for me to take the next step, and not having to reintroduce themselves or the transaction at every single juncture, right? And I think that omni-channel capability is one that now customers expect in everything that they're doing, and really points to that frictionless, customized, personalized approach that is the future of what I think most industries are going to be, which is omni-channel. Not that it's this channel or that channel, it's that they blend and you let your customer choose which one is the right one.
So I also like the fact that you're also asking questions of business owners and business leaders to challenge themselves. What are some of the questions that you would ask our listeners to pose to themselves, based on knowing that innovation is an absolute must? It's not even a choice anymore. It's innovate or die, literally, as a community pharmacy owner. So what are some questions that you suggest that business owners in the pharmacy space ask themselves?
One question that I always like to ask is, did your customer have a good day today, and prove it to me with data? And what that forces is like, well, I actually don't exactly know what the customer experience is, and I don't have the hooks, I don't have the triggers, I don't have the mechanisms in order to have good measurements to be able to show you, John, you know, like how we measure the customer experience, and did they have it today, which forces, like, do you have real-time data and everything? So I always think about that. And then in terms of, you know, I mentioned kind of think about the customer experience bigger than just your interaction with the customer today. Well, what can we do to take ownership of that customer experience, which really is what we're in the business. I would say pharmacists are not in the business of delivering a medication to a patient. A pharmacist is in the business of getting your patient to adhere to that medication.
Right.
If you ask that type of question, oh man, you might do some very different things in order to help your customers adhere better to their prescriptions. But guess what? Everybody's too busy just doing the next transaction.
Exactly. That's absolutely looking for the next rather than concentrating on where you are with your patient. And sometimes that's very difficult when there's expectations to push out 300, 600 prescriptions a day to even keep the bills paid, and in some of the constraints of how the PBMs work with all of this.
And that's reality. And I don't mean to, not have a good understanding of that reality, but, you know, I'm telling you, like, these changes are coming. And so we have to find a way to invest in trialing some new concepts, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, and then, you know, beating the competition by being better, by being new.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I have lots of follow-up for our listeners through the links that I will be providing and driving them to some of the information that you provide in your publications. Think Like Amazon, 50 and a half ideas to become a digital leader. That's the latest publication from John Rossman. John, this has been an absolute treat and for us and the listeners. I do want to once again mention the book giveaway. We now have 20 copies of Think Like Amazon to give away. Hashtag the Amazon way. And if you tweet that, if you post that on Facebook, if you post that on LinkedIn, we'll be searching for that hashtag and we will get you a copy. Retweet the podcast so that we can get this episode out to more pharmacists and pharmacy owners. John Rossman, what a treat to have you on. Thank you so much for joining me on the Pharmacy Podcast.
Todd, thanks. And I'll just mention that the book has an Audible version, and I've gotten a lot of compliments to the reading that was done of it. And so if people like listening to the stuff in their cars, you can get the book on Audible or whatever subscription you use.
I have two copies. I have the digital copy for my computers and my phones, and then I have the Audible copy.
Yeah, perfect. Well, again, thanks for having me on.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you so much. We were on with John Rossman. He is the author of Think Like Amazon, a former executive at Amazon. It was amazing to have him on. We thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.